Hello, sirs. It is I, Little Noid. Good morning. It's time for the morning disaster, mothering father. Here's Raymond.
Hello, Little Noid. Well, thank you, Little Noid. Spanky, isn't he nice? I mean, isn't he just doing a great job introducing the show?
He's in a wonderful mood today.
And America's favorite sweetheart, Spanky, is also on the show.
Thank you, Little Noid. Yeah, that is America's favorite sweetheart, Spanky. Oh, what, last show of the week, Spank?
Last show of the week. Is Nikki with us today?
Nikki is sick. Nikki is violently ill. Violently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what she says. Violently ill. I got a message from her. I guess she sent it last night. I saw the message this morning, and she's ill.
Ill.
From cleaning her house.
Maybe we should send Little Noid over to see her.
I would gladly go over to her house to make her feel better. I mean, I remember when I was sick back in the days when I was in that camp, Spanky. Camp counselor Harry always told me, Little Noid, when you're sick, it's the best time to start feeling better.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yes. Here's what he did. He would go over to my house and make sure I was snug in my bed. He'd say, Little Noid, you need to be snug as a bug in a rug. He'd make sure I was all tucked in. And then he would say, what you need to do is drink this concoction.
Drink what?
A concoction. I'm not sure what a concoction is, but he did emphasize the part cock when he said it. Concoction. What he did is he would have me drink it, and I don't know if it cleaned my sinuses or what happened, but it would make me a bit dizzy, lightheaded. Yes, and that would make me less aware that I was so sick, therefore soothing my mind of the anxiety that one feels when under the weather. That's how he did his, that's how he took good care of me. And then I would sleep it off. Now, I do remember, however, that sometimes I would not be all the way asleep. It would take me a while, but before that, he would do exercises to help me feel better. Like, I would be falling asleep or passing out, one would say. And he would sometimes, he was very concerned with my well-being, so sometimes he would climb on top of my back. He'd roll me over onto my stomach, because I'm positive he didn't want the phlegm, that was in my lungs to interrupt my sleep by having it choke me. So he would roll me over onto my stomach, and then he would get on top of me, and I think he was putting pressure on my back so as to ease the phlegm and make the phlegm, fall out of me while I was laying on my stomach. He would, in fact, sometimes it felt like he was laying upon me when I was on my stomach. He would lay upon me and try to assert pressure on my lower back, upper rump area, I believe. I really don't remember the sensation. But I do remember that he, while he was on me, he was very angry at that phlegm, Spanky.
Uh-huh.
And while my body was being pushed and forwarded, I heard him saying things like, take it, bitch. you freaking love it. Take it. And I believe that's what he was. Of course, I could have been hallucinating from the concoction. The concoction made me hallucinate, possibly. And I would hear things like, take it. You know you freaking want it, bitch.
He must have cared very much for you.
And that I would hear things like that right before I would pass out completely. But I remember I wouldn't necessarily feel better immediately after it, but I would, within a few days, I would start feeling better, and my cold will have gone away. Sometimes, Spanky, sometimes I didn't even know I had a cold.
Well, that's wonderful.
Camp Counselor Harry would come into my room and say, "Well, hello, little Lloyd." And I would say, "Well, hello, Camp Counselor Harry." And he would say, "I think a cold is coming on." And I would say, "Well, a cold? I don't feel the sick." He goes, "Oh, yeah, there's a cold. You better drink this." And I would drink something. I think that he was holding the concoction in his pants because he came in, he would have a bulge right off of his pocket. And he would say, "Drink this," and I would drink it, and oh, I'd start to get dizzy again and dizzy-dazzy. And next thing you know, I'd roll over on my stomach and, take it, bitch, you lack it, bitch. All over again, and the next thing you know, I'd wake up, boom, I felt better.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so it was, I wish, you know, sometimes I was sore in certain areas. You know, Camp Counselor Harry was old-fashioned. I sure wish he would have used a mouth thermometer. It seemed that he, took the temperature another way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so. Of course, one time I woke up, I was hallucinating again, and I can swear he did have a thermometer in my mouth.
Really?
Yes, and mother and father, the thermometer. I'm not sure, but I think it had veins.
Oh no!
Thank you, little Lloyd.
Well, he's wound up.
That's about enough of your story. Your stories are stories are a little disturbing when he lets us know of his. Well, I mean, we're glad you grew up well, little Lloyd. Oh, my God.
Sounds like Camp Counselor Harry took very good care of him.
Yeah, Camp Counselor Harry was taking good care of him. I'm not sure why he would be yelling at the phlegm in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if the phlegm understood, "Take that, bitch, you love it."
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell he was saying. let's see. Ben is telling me, "Ray, hey, the player on Disaster is not working." Oh, it's not, Ben? Well, that's not good. Well, I don't know. It's a lot. I didn't know that. I'm not currently. To be honest, I was listening earlier, and I was listening on my phone. So, and I was really getting into yesterday's show. By the way, when I was listening, would you explain why it went past? Do you notice it went past 8:30? I was just listening to it. I was enjoying the show, listening to it on my phone. And I
thought, hey, I got a new show.
Yeah, I said, oh, crap, I better start doing the new show. Oh, God.
How about them Cubbies?
Hey, can I talk about that? My God.
Oh, were they phenomenal last night or what?
They look like a team that could actually win it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they look like a team that could win. I was having so much fun, dude. I was screaming and yelling, like every time they got a hit, I was on fire. I really was.
I thought that was one of the better games they played together.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, how about that Kyle Schwarber?
Oh.
I mean, good God, how awesome is Kyle Schwarber?
Second day back.
I know, it's amazing. Who does that? You know, I mean,
I don't know, but he was on fire.
He hasn't played. He has not played Major League Baseball since April, 7th? He hasn't played since April 7th.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what they were saying before the game.
And then he comes out, okay? He comes out, and he bats against Major League hitting, or Major League pitching, excuse me. And he gets hits. I mean, all he does is hit. He looks like his approach and the way, you know, his everything when hitting, he's one of the best hitters on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys who have been playing all year have got to be looking at him going, Jesus, this son of a bitch is only, he's only hit like, he's only batted three times against major league pitching, and he's out there crushing it. And meanwhile, I'm going up and striking out. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he got some good hits last night.
What an amazing player. Really. He has been fun to watch, man. So much fun to watch. And Anthony Rizzo's on fire. As cold as he was in the division series and the first few games of the league championship series,
mm-hmm.
He's hitting everything now in the World Series. The guy can't miss.
It's like he's woke up.
Yeah, it is. They really were entertaining to watch. And Jake Arrieta yesterday, wow, did he pitch great. I'll tell you what I like about the playoffs, too, is the coaches don't sit around. They don't sit around trying to figure out what's going what's up with these pitches and letting them go like eight innings, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like in the regular season sometimes, they let them go too long. And you go from winning a game, you know, like 4-5-0. And next thing you know, you're losing because you leave the pitcher in too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like the fact that in the World Series, they yank him out quick. You know, they're like,
I think he went last night, what, 5 2/3?
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know what's going
on. Something like that, and they pulled him out.
Yep. Yeah, as soon as he gave up a hit, I mean, he was pitching a no-hitter, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he gave up a hit, they're like, yeah, you know what, let's get him out. Let's go ahead and – he's done great for us. And let's get him out. I like that. And then that Mike Montgomery came in. Oh my God, he was fantastic.
Yeah, he did good.
Yeah, he's been impressive. He's been very impressive. Then Aroldis Chapman comes in. He just 103 miles an hour.
Yeah,
it's like unbelievable. Brent is saying the fans are calling for Schwarber to play in outfield tomorrow night. He says, "What do you guys think?" I'll answer that. I'm sure Spank will join. But here's what I think about tomorrow night. Kyle Schwarber, number one, he's got to be cleared by a doctor, all right? Now, he was cleared. Yeah. He was cleared by a doctor to hit. He's done great. But hitting's hard because to use that knee to hit is hard enough as it is, and his knee looks fine when he hits. But playing the outfield, there's two things. Number one, his health, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All you need now is him to be, jogging over to get a fly ball and hurting the knee again. Or, God, more importantly, him getting in a collision with someone again and having the ligament go. That would be horrible, all right? Because then he would miss, then he'd be out again. But the second thing you worry about is, if he defensively can't cover his position, well, how many runs are we going to give up?
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is, if he's not cleared by a doctor, then the insurance is invalid. So it's one thing when the team has insurance that the Major League Baseball teams pay really high premiums, but if a team has insurance and he hurts the knee again, or he damaged the knee in some capacity, and he has to get surgery and surgeries. You know. Excuse me. Surgery's tens of thousands of dollars. You know what I mean? The insurance does cover. You pay so much of a deductible, and the insurance covers the rest. If he's not cleared by a doctor, and you decide to play him anyways, you got a mess on your hand. If anything happens, you got to pay full price. You're going against your insurance policy. You don't want the insurance policy to say, no, it's invalid because you played this one guy and something happens to Kyle Schwarber and he sues you saying, well, doctor said you shouldn't play me and you guys play me. There's just a lot of bad things that can happen. So I will say this. If the doctor does not clear him to play defense, there's no way in hell he's going to play defense.
You know, I don't think he should yet.
They'll save him on the bench, okay? And there will come a point when there's two runners on and Jason Hayward's supposed to bat or something, and they take him out, and they put Schwarber in to hit. You know, I mean, that's – there'll be something like that. Or a pitcher is going to be up there, you know. A pitcher will be ready to hit, and they'll take him out, and they'll have Kyle Schwarber hit with bases loaded or something. I mean, that's how you try to use him. Now, if the doctors clear him, why not?
If the doctors clear him to go, put him in.
Either way, he's not going to play the whole game. And that's something you got to realize. He's not going to, because either he's going to be a defensive liability, you know, either he's going to be a liability defensively, or he is going to be, you know what I mean, unavailable early or late in the game or something. So you gotta just figure it out. I guess it gets down to this, Spanky, and you tell me what you would do. Either he's going to bat three times, play in the outfield. He'll bat three times, and you'll have to take him out for defensive reasons or running reasons or something. Or he's going to bat once, and you'll make sure of the situation for when he bats. Because as he's a starter, you can't really determine what the situation will be. You know what I mean? He could lead off an inning. He could come up with two outs, nobody out, you know. But if he's on the bench, you can determine what the situation is when he bats, you know.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's the way they'll play that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that they'll look at it. And don't get me wrong, Wrigley Field is not the biggest field, you know, not the biggest field in the world. But it is, but still, a ball misplayed in Wrigley Field in left field can lead to runs. You know, it can lead to a lot of runs. And the Cubs have a lot of good defensive outfielders. Excuse me. You know what I mean?
I think that'd be great. Just like I said, if they leave him and they need him to replace a pitcher, like you said, come in for a one hit.
I would be more like, if I was them, I would start. Now, I don't know how much worse he is than Jorge Soler, to be honest with you, when it comes to fielding. But I would probably start Zobrist in left field and then bring him into pinch hit. That's me. But if he can do it, and the doctor says, no, he's fine. Regular activity is not going to injure his leg anymore. Then why not, you know? If there's any question, I would say don't play him. But if everyone says he says he's fine, and the doctor says he's fine, and everything else, then play him.
Put him in.
Yeah. So that's my take, you know. And I know that's not 100% definite of an answer, but that's how I feel. It would depend on, I mean, you got to see what the doctor says. The doctor says yes, and everything's fine, you play him. If not, then you save him, and you get to determine when he bats, what the situation is when he bats. But, boy, I'll tell you, to think you put a Zobrist in right, Fowler in center, and him in left with that usual infield, that's a lot of hitting out there. However, Dexter Fowler's not really hitting as the leadoff guy.
No, I mean, he finally connected last night, but...
Yeah, I mean, he has not been... He just hasn't been doing, you know, his usual... He hasn't been himself in this World Series, so, and I guess worst comes to worst, you can take him out. But I would say I would go with if everything's good and you can, then why not do Schwarber, Fowler, and Zobrist in the outfield? Boy, Zobrist has been on fire, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Zobrist has been really good. So anyway, there you go. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Hey, congratulations to a longtime listener of our program and a co-star of Front Row Movie Reviews, Scott McFarlane, who was just on Good Morning America today.
Oh, cool.
He was on Good Morning America this morning with his children, Clark and Addison McFarland. And he was on there with his kids. And, you know, talking about how the kids have only been alive for so long and they're named after the Cubs and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, I haven't seen it yet because, of course, we're on the air. But I guess he was on right around 8:30. So congrats to him.
Cool.
And I'm hoping they'll put that up. If they put that up, I'll play some of it. You know what I mean? I don't know how that works. But they do seem to put every they do seem to put, you know, a Good Morning America stuff up on social media fairly early. So hopefully we'll get that. All right. Hopefully we will get that. All right. So congrats to him. Congrats to him. All right. What's up this weekend? What are you doing?
Chilling.
You chilling?
I think we're just going to lay around and watch ball games and.
You know, my wife and this is crazy. My wife, I think I talked about this. She's going to be gone tomorrow.
Gone?
I'm going to be home alone watching the Cubs game.
Part of your house?
Well, I mean, it's like, yeah, I don't want to watch it alone. You know what I mean? I don't want to watch the game alone. I don't know who wants to come over and watch it with me, but I'd like someone to come over and watch it with me.
Sean will be there for you.
No, he's got his girlfriend. He's all, you know, he's with his girlfriend.
Oh, that's true.
And I don't blame him, you know. A man goes without for so long, you know. I had a, you know, here's the past Cubs playoffs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had a... I have a wife who I'm so fortunate. She loves baseball. And she knows how important it is to me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause our whole life is just, it's baseball. When we met, it was in September of 1990. And the Cubs were not good, but I still, you know, I was constantly talking about how, well, you know, last year they were in the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. I just love my Cubs, you know. I've loved them forever. Still do. Still, I will till the day I die. And my wife has always understood it, and she's watched it with me, okay? She's just like, yeah. She'll be like, let's watch the game. You know, she's 100% behind my baseball fan.
She enjoys it also.
Yeah, she loves the Cubs. She went from being an Astros fan to a Cubs fan, and she's been right alongside me. Now, and I think in my Facebook, like social media messages and stuff, people really see how, you know, how into that. Like, some people doubt, for some reason, you know, even though I've been talking about it my whole life, some people doubt my... they doubt my sincerity of being a Cub fan, you know. A year earlier from when I met my wife, okay?
Okay.
In 1989, the Cubs were making the World Series. And I was living with a girl who was not. You know, I live with a girl prior to my wife, and it was 100% over because during those playoffs, okay, during the National League Championship Series, this girl, that's a true story, who, you know, listen, she was a nice person, a sweet person, all right? But from day one, and God, I hope the girl's not listening, you know. There were some very wonderful aspects about this girl, but from day one, we were not compatible. You know what I mean? We just weren't compatible.
Nothing clicked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it clicked enough, okay? It clicked enough to where we could, you know, we could date. You know what I mean? We could date and have, you know, good times together. And yeah, mm-hmm. you know, there were some gaps in the things we discussed. It's like, well, you know, some things we talked about just weren't, you know. I don't think politically she just didn't care, you know what I mean? She was really attractive, you know, which was important to me. And just mm-hmm. sweet. She was sweet and nice. I mean, this was a girl, I'm trying not to, because, like, I'm thinking back and everything I think is bad, you know, but I know that that wasn't the case. And, like, for example, she was the kind of woman, and I guess I should say girl because she was very young, who would, who would, you know, go out of her way to help people, especially people that needed it, you know.
Okay.
Like, I just remember her going out of her way to be super nice to needy people. Like being at dinner one time and her getting up and helping some old lady or something, you know. That's what I sort of, so real nice like that, okay? But very, uh-huh. But there was an aspect of her that was very, I don't know if selfish is the right word or what, but she did not like baseball, all right?
At all?
Yeah, I just don't think she was a fan. And I made it very clear how important it was to me, all right? Uh-huh. I made it very clear that this is something that is super important. And, you know, I've been waiting my whole life for this. Now, she made my life miserable the whole season in 1989. Like, this girl would go out of her way to just, every time I'd watch a game, you know, like I'd get home from work. The Cubs were playing a lot of afternoon games then. Mm-hmm. And I would work the morning show on the radio station I was working on. And I would want to get home, and I'd get my work done at the station. I'd run home. I'd want to start working on my show at home, right? And then I'd want to take a nap. And the reason I wanted to take the nap, I made it very clear, is because I wanted to be able to wake up and still catch some of the game. Mm-hmm. And if I could do all my work and stay awake, then I would watch the baseball game without falling asleep, right?
Yeah.
Well, this girl, you know, this girl moves with me when I first moved to Texas. She moved with me to Texas, right? And, you know, she's going to do this, and she's going to get a job, and she's going to do, well, she doesn't do any of it, you know. So she would be home, right? And I would be,
okay.
I'm focusing on, you know, I want to watch the Cubs game. And so I would get home from work, and I'd be like, okay, listen, I want to catch an hour and a half nap so I can get up at 1:30 and watch Cubs game. Mm-hmm. And I would go in there, and the girl would, like, go into the bedroom and start rubbing me and start, you know what I mean, and, like, want to have sex. And so I'd be like, all right, well, let me, you know, yeah, I'll do it. And so I'd try to do, like, a quickie or something, right? And yeah. she would like, complain. You know, we never take our, I'm remembering, like, I'm just getting annoyed now, rethinking it. But, you know, she'd want to do, you know, go all out and have some kind of crazy romantic sex at one, you know, at 11 o'clock in the morning, okay? Which, mm-hmm. maybe if there's not something I'm looking forward to, like the Cubs game on in 2.5 hours, and I haven't slept because the night before I had to put up with this, you know. I had to put up with it. Like, I always wanted to go to bed early. It's like, I have this job that makes me wake up at, you know, 4:30. And the reason I have to wake up at 4:30 is because you won't leave me alone. You know, it's like, you won't leave me alone during the day. So, or during the evening. So I can't get my work done at night. So I have to wake up early. You know, there's a whole thing going on. And you can tell I'm just getting furious. Just like talking. I'm getting frustrated just discussing it. But all right. So the girl would, you know, so I'd have to wake up so damn early. So that meant I had to go to bed early the night before, you know?
Yeah. So you could get up early.
And this girl just did not understand that, and the offers that she made to keep me up late just didn't matter. You know, they weren't good enough for me to go, well, it's worth staying up late, you know. Because of the 25 years I've been married to Deidre, it sucks when I have to go to bed early when I was working mornings, okay? And a lot of times I just stay up because hanging out with her has always been so worth it, you know, that I don't that I just never considered it a thing. With this girl, I would just get angry and be like, son of a bitch, I got to go to sleep. I got to wake up early. And this girl would bother me, you know. She just bothered. And I'm not, and trust me, this is a very, she was beautiful girl. She was physically a beautiful girl. And emotionally, mentally, she was a beautiful girl. Emotionally is where she had her problems.
Mm-hmm.
And this need to, you know, to just be the focus of everything, you know.
Keep interrupting everything.
It drove me crazy. And so, like I said, you know, she would, you know, like try to come on to me or force me to have sex. You know what I mean? Like at the most inopportune times. And then she would say, oh, you would never want to have sex with me. And I'm like, that's not, I said, you're a sexy girl, but I don't want to have, and I'd be like, no, I don't want to have sex with you during the Cubs game because I'm watching the freaking game. You know what I mean? Like she'd
be blocking your Cubs.
Yes. She'd want to, like, while I'm watching the game, she'd want to come on to me. And she was in some unhealthy competition with a baseball team. You love the Cubs more than you love me. I'd go, yes, yes. I've known the Cubs my whole life. The Cubs don't interrupt me when I'm trying to take a dump.
Exactly.
The Cubs don't cry because I have to go to work. The Cubs work. The Cubs get off their ass and go to work.
Like you were supposed to get a job.
Yeah, the Cubs don't sponge off me using 100% of my money. The Cubs.
And then bitch at you because you had to go to work.
Yes. The Cubs don't call their grandmother and have long conversations, you know, instead of making sure I have dinner. That's the, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what the Cubs do. So this girl would have issues, all right?
Well, it sounds like it.
So 1989 playoffs. And then, you know, the other person who had issues, I do want to say this because I don't want to make it sound like this girl was just this terrible human being, because she's really not. She's really nice. Like I said, we just weren't compatible at some things. And hold on, my wife's texting me. I want to make sure this isn't about okay, whew, I thought she was listening. I was like, oh God.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So this girl, the final straw came during the playoffs of 1989.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't handle it anymore. We were, or, you know, going down the stretch. She would, you know, do this and bother me, and I'm like, oh my God! And I'm like, Jesus! They're tied right now. These games were so close, and they were always, you know, they would like be a game or two down, and they're trying to come back. Like the whole month, last month of the season was insane, and she was constantly, you know. And here's the thing where she was unaware. Like, if the Cubs are winning by, like, 5 runs, and you want some kind of good sex, great. Be sexy. Now I want to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're up 5 runs.
Yeah.
But she wasn't interested then, you know. This girl was only interested if it was, like, a tie game or the Cubs.
Or they were behind one or two
with bases loaded, right? It's like she claimed she didn't know shit about baseball. But I do remember situations where, you know, you got Ryan Sandberg and Dwight Smith and Andre Dawson all coming up, right? And they have, and Jerome Walton gets on. This is how much I was into this team. I actually still remember the players' names. Like, Walton gets on base. Cubs are down by one. They have their three best players coming up next. And she would, like, you know, get onto the couch or try to like sit up, like I'd watch the TV, and she'd sit on my lap and pull her big tits out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, oh yeah, and I'd kind of push her to the side. You know, and I'm like, I'm trying to watch this. And she would, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm watching the game. And then she'd be grabbing at my crotch and stuff. And I'm like, I don't mind if you do that. Go right ahead. I wouldn't stop that. Well, why aren't you stopping this? And I'm like, because I'm watching the game. And it was just, these crazy head games. You could tell what's going on. You know what I mean? Crazy head games.
It'd be like me watching NASCAR.
And so then, yeah, while you're, and then your wife like trying to make you not watch the ending of the race, you know.
Yeah, go sit down.
And then the Cubs, they get a hit, Sandberg gets a hit, brings Walton around to like third, and then Dwight Smith gets a hit, and they go up, and say Dawson gets a hit, now they're up by three runs or whatever, or two runs, and now I'm all excited. And, and then they bring out the closer, and it becomes, mm-hmm. so it becomes obvious they're going to win. And so I'd be like, and so I'd try to be myself, or not even, I was myself all along, but I would try to like, I'd be.
You're like, okay, I got time now.
I'm like, all right, come here, and I'd try to be sweet about it, but no. Well, you didn't want me then. And I'm like, oh my God, son of a bitch. I'm like, oh my God, can you not be? And I would say things like, and I probably should have worded things better, but I'm like, can you try to not be psychotic for 5 effing minutes, And then the girl would get upset and she'd, well, you don't love me, but I don't even know why I'm. And she would say things like, I don't even know why I'm here. And I'd say, I don't either.
Yeah, let me help you pack your bag.
I'm like, I have no idea why you're here. So you don't fucking work. You don't have any friends. You have no intention of getting either one. You know, it's not like you're cooking. It's not like, she was very clean. The house is always really clean. But I didn't want a freaking maid. You know what I mean? That's not what I wanted.
Well, if you did, you would have ordered one.
Yeah, I didn't want a maid. I wanted someone, if you wanted to be the, and I remember her saying, what would it take for me to be the perfect person and blah, blah. And I'd say, and she goes, when you're watching those stupid games. And I'd say, number one, don't call them stupid. Number two, would it kill you to sit next to me and watch the game? And then she would say like just offensive things, I feel your dick when I'm grabbing it and you're getting erected while you're watching the game. Like somehow implying that the reason I'm getting aroused is because I'm watching the game. No, I'm getting aroused because you're playing with my, because you're grabbing me. Unzip my pants, give me a blowjob while I'm watching the game. I'm not going to stop you.
Just get your head out of the way so I can see the TV.
Just let me watch the game. The girl wouldn't get it. She just wouldn't, And it would just be offensive when she's somehow implying that I'm getting aroused because of the Cubs. It's like, no, I was getting aroused when you came out, took out your big tits and danced around. I was still getting aroused, but the timing was horrible because I was watching the Cubs game.
Exactly.
And to be honest, I realized that the reason the girl was doing it was because she had some crazy fucking competition going on, an imaginary contest going on with the Cubs for my affections. You know what I mean? It's one thing listen, my wife and I, when my wife and I first got together, we would be watching sports together. And I specifically remember watching a football game, right?
Yeah.
And, these were so damn good looking, And we're watching the football game. We're just hanging out. And some one thing happened. Next thing you know, in fact, this happened several times. In the middle of the football game, we're so aroused and so turned on by each other that we just say, screw it. We start going at it during the game.
Having your halftime entertainment early.
Where it just became so much more important to be with her than watching the game.
Yeah.
I never experienced that with this other girl. Never did. Because it wasn't natural. It was forced, okay? And that's and that's what would, you know, that's what that would make me crazy. Is this strange? And I there wasn't a time where I thought, okay, she's really, you know, there wasn't a time where I was thinking she's really trying to turn me on because she's got affection and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know what I mean? It's like in my head, I'd be going, okay, here comes this imaginary obsession with, you know, her fight with the Cubs for my attention, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I could see through it, you know. I could just see through. So anyway, now I get back to the 1989 playoffs. So the Cubs, it's going down the stretch, and she's bothering me, okay? She's bothering me every single freaking day, you know? About, she's having this competition, and I just keep getting angry, you know? And I want to point out, before anybody's going, well, what are you, gay? No. I want to point out that that's when she'd do it. Like, at the normal times to have sex, all right? At what would be normal times, she, you know,
she'd be calling her grandma.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, no Cubs. Cubs are playing at night. I come home from a hard day at work. I'm going to take a nap. You know, now's when you know, you're cleaned up, you take a nice shower and, you know, have yourself clean, be waiting in bed for me to just ravage you. Then let's do it, you know. Then let's go for it. But that wasn't the case. This wasn't every day, you know. This was only on days when there was something else that I had planned. That's when the girl would do it. So, you know, we're going down the stretch and I'm just like, I'm just more angry. I'm more angry and more angry. Finally, we get into the playoffs, all right? And this girl does everything in her power to keep me from watching my team in the playoffs. Like, went out of her way. And I was like, that's it. That's when I finally said, that's it. That's it. You are the hell. You're out of here. You know, I just couldn't take it anymore.
Pack your garbage bag up and hit the road.
That's what I was like. I was like, pack your stuff and get the F out of here. I was so angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was right before I met my wife, okay? Well, it was a while, but that was the last relationship I had before I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't handle it. And I remember the girl, I'm vividly remembering it now because, you know, I'm retelling it, but she drove me crazy. And that 1989 playoffs, which to me was, it was one of the most special times of my life. She tried her best to ruin it, you know. She tried her best to keep, you know what I mean, went out of her way to keep me from doing it. And it made me mad. I mean, it pissed me off. And like, you know, I would think back on her, and even now, this girl was, you know, the one thing she had going for her, all right, was she was really attractive, okay? This was a body who at the time, and I don't know, I mean, God knows, you know, I don't know how she grew up. I know she, like I said, there was a sweetness there, you know. But whatever issue was going on, you know, the body was built for sex. At least it was for back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think she would have done a lot of stuff that I've always wanted to do, and I've never, I'm going to die without ever doing, you know. I'm pretty sure she would have done it. But I just couldn't bring myself to be, you know, like I've always teased, like I say, oh, I need a three-way and stuff, and I always joke like that. But in all seriousness, if I did that with my wife, I would still focus on my wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have done that with this girl, who I'm pretty sure she would have done it, I would have focused on whoever the other girl was and just ignored her.
just had a ball.
I don't even know how to. I don't even know why I'm saying that, but it just. I just see it. You know what I mean? So, but there were things that I could have done. You know, where I should have, and I thought about it, like, you know, in the time between finally getting rid of her and eventually meeting my wife, I thought to myself, damn, you know, I probably should have taken that advantage of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so much manipulation that she was trying to do. It just, oh my God, it made me crazy. So finally, when she stopped, you know, during the 1989 playoffs, when she got in my way and bothered me, I was like, that's it, we're done. That's when it finally went to hell. So the 1989 playoffs, which, yeah, the Cubs lost, but there was, you know, there were, I didn't watch as much of it, okay?
Yeah.
It was a 4-game playoff, and I hardly watched any of it because of this, you know, because of this girl. And I was so angry, all right? I was so pissed off after it was all said and done. And I didn't get the Cubs didn't go to the playoffs again till 1998, and they got swept.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cubs play, me and the Cubs playoffs have always been, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do with 1989. And now to have my wife, who I ended up meeting, I ended up meeting my wife the very next year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff going on with this girl was like in October of 89. By September of 1990, after having a pretty good year, almost a year of just having a good time, you know, because, I mean, after I got rid of her, I had a male roommate move in that I work with, a guy named Joel, and our house became party central, okay? We were party central, I'll tell you what. And after, you know, and a year of that, then I finally met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring it all the way to what we do now, our house, when the Cubs make the playoffs, it's a celebration. It really is. I mean, it's crazy. It's like Christmas around here. We love it. We love the playoffs. My wife will, you know, like when we were younger, she used to sit right next to me, you know. And as we've gotten older, now Bella's become involved. And as a family, we just live for the Cubs making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so special the last couple of years watching the Cubs, you know, do what they've accomplished. And, you know, to see how excited, my wife's always excited about it, but to see how excited my daughter is about it is, it's just made it so special. You know what I mean?
Well, it makes it fun, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so fun, and I've just enjoyed everything so much. And
you
I do,
can do it as a family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a family, you know, like an outing, even though you're not going out, but you're still having family time.
We love it. We love it. And I'm trying to stress that it's so important to me that it ended. I mean, people could say, why did your relationship with this girl end? I would say, one of the big things I'd say is, the Cubs. She went out of her way to ruin baseball for me, which I love. Anybody who knows me knows I love baseball.
The one thing you wanted to watch.
Yes, I love the Cubs. That's, you know, that's what I was into. And this girl went out of her way to stop it. You know what I mean? It's like, I was a little self-absorbed, so I couldn't tell you what she loved, you know?
Didn't really listen, did you?
No. You know, I was, don't get, well, don't be wrong. I mean, I'm sure I'm making her sound horrible, but, you know, I was no sweet peach during this whole thing. I was, you know.
But come on. If she's not working.
Yeah, I have my.
And she's bugging you during your ball games.
I had my issues, and I'll tell you what, her not working made me crazy. And a lot of it had to do with me not having the guts to just step up and go, you know what? You know, and maybe she wanted. I mean, she just seemed like a person that always wanted to fight, you know. And I'm not I don't fight. I'm not a fighter.
No, I've had a few of those.
I get easily annoyed. And I'm like, my thing is like, F this, you know. I get easily annoyed and say F this, and that's just how I am. And so, you know, this girl's wanting, of course, to fight or wanting to get whatever. And if I would have just been less passive aggressive and said, hey, get a freaking job. Go get a job. Or go do this. Or, you know, or why don't you sit your ass down and try to watch the game with me? But it's like I wouldn't do that. I just assume, you know. And so it all
just sit there in a chair and be quiet for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's like, just give me a freaking break. You know, for you. And she'd be like, oh, I'm so bored. And I'm like, because you're not home. I'm thinking to myself, get off your freaking ass and get a job. Do something.
It was like last night. We was watching the game, and my wife, bless her heart, she gets up early like your wife.
Yep.
She had to get up and go to work. She fell asleep during the game.
Yeah.
And she is snoring so ungodly loud. I'm like, I'm going to put a pillow over your face. I finally ended up going into the bedroom and watching it on the smaller TV, and you could still hear her snoring.
Well, why not wake her up and make her go to bed? Say, honey, go to sleep. Oh, you're tired.
I don't know how yours is, but if you wake them up, all hell breaks loose.
No, my wife, I'll tell you, one of the sweetest things. This is one of the sweetest things that happened last night. I swear to God, all week, this is one of the sweetest things that happened. My wife, I know that she's had no sleep. Monday and Tuesday night, she had no sleep. Because we've got a dog. Our dog, Max, is sick, and she's... Well, and I told her last night, I'm like, you're being too kind to him. Because she wants to pick him up and put her in the bed. He's got he had trachea issues. So he's coughing all the time, right?
Yeah.
And he wakes her up. She puts him in the bed because he whines because he wants to get in the bed. And he coughs all night and it keeps her up. So she got like 4 hours of sleep Sunday night. Well, 4 hours is not enough sleep to get, you know what I mean? And then Monday night, she got, you know, like 4 hours of sleep again. And Tuesday was my birthday. So she went out of her way to do all these amazing things for my birthday. Like, she came home at lunch and, I can't even tell you what she did at lunch. It was amazing. We had this wonderful time together. And then she goes back to work and she comes home and then she makes this special meal for me at night. And I'm like, I know she hasn't slept 8 hours in the last 2 days combined. Mm-hmm. But she does it all, you know. And then... by last night, she is exhausted. This poor thing, but, you know, she made sure we had, well, my mother actually was very, it was very sweet of my mom. My birthday gift for my mother is she made me one of my favorite meals. She makes this, and I don't have it very often. I have it, like, you know, a couple times a year. I had this spaghetti she makes where she's seasoned it wonderfully, you know, and she has Italian sausage with it and stuff. And so, she called my wife and said, I want to make dinner for you kids. And we were like, oh, that's so sweet. So she picks up dinner from my mom, which was very nice. And I could tell she was just knocked out. So we eat the dinner that my mom made, which is so good. And my wife is laying on the couch. And then one of my dogs jumps up with her and one of the cats goes on there. And so she's on there and she's watching the game with Chester, who's sitting on her. And as she's, and you know, we're watching the game, and she sort of takes this blanket that's on the couch, and she just sort of sinks into the couch and covers herself with the blanket, and she's watching the game, and the next thing you know, she drifts off. And the Cubs have already had that lead. We got that big lead. And then she slept a couple innings. And those are those long, remember the Cubs had those long innings, you know?
Yeah.
When they kept talking about how Jake Arrieta's got to come back, but he's been sitting on the bench for 35 minutes, and how's he going to stay warm? It was like innings three and four. And my wife slept the entire time, and I tried to be quiet. You know what I mean? I wasn't screaming when they were getting on base. I was still excited watching the whole game. But she had the nice meal of spaghetti, and she fell asleep. And she slept maybe an hour of the four-hour game. My wife slept like a good 45, 50 minutes of it. And it just refreshed her so much, you know. Mm-hmm. And finally, she got some sleep. And because I could tell, man, she was zonked. And then, you know, so it was actually really sweet. Now, she wasn't snoring. If she would have been snoring, I don't know. I might have held a pillow over her face or something. But it was sweet.
I thought about it. I didn't do it.
But it was sweet when she was sleeping. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to wake her up. I want to make sure everything's quiet to let her sleep. And she'll naturally wake up. And she did. She mm-hmm. naturally woke up when the Cubs scored a run. Kyle Schwarber got a big hit, and that woke her up. And she was very happy, you know. But before she woke up and stuff, when she was sleeping, she was really relaxed. And I tell she had a really nice night because of that, you know. Because she got
to
sleep.
Yeah, I could tell mine was sleeping good because she was snoring. She don't snore usually.
Yeah.
But if she gets in a deep sleep, the boys, you wake her up. But better take cover.
You're right, though. If you wake them up, it's annoying. Oh. Yeah, I understand that. But snoring, I mean, come on. You got to do that thing. You got to do that thing where you go, oh, honey, wake up here. I'm going to help you go to the bedroom because you need to go to sleep. You need to go to sleep. I can tell that you're tired and you need some good sleep. You know, you got to try to be sweet, even though they're going to be angry. But if you immediately talk them down that it's coming from a good place, you could trick them into going to the room instead of snoring in the living room.
Yeah, I just get up and go to the other room myself.
What time did she finally get up and go to bed?
I think she came to bed about 3:30 this morning.
Oh, so she stayed.
She was still on the couch. I shut everything on and went to bed.
She stayed in the living room the whole time.
Oh, she was comfortable, really. So I just let her stay.
Yeah, she was definitely. She must have been knocked out, dude.
Yeah, but then I heard this morning, why didn't you wake me up when you went to bed?
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. Did you say, oh, you were sleeping so good and, you know.
I said, you was raising the roof. The neighbors kept calling the cops, thinking there was a truck running in the neighborhood. But I love her.
That's awesome. That's great. Oh, well.
That's so we got a night off tonight and then tomorrow night, the big game.
I know, buddy. I know. So now to get to my original point. My wife and daughter bought tickets for the 1975 concert.
Okay.
And, I mean, they bought them months ago. So my wife's like, she goes, you know what? She goes, we're broke, so we don't really get to do anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she goes, we paid for these tickets. She goes, I'm not just going to let them go to waste. And I go, no, you shouldn't. And she goes, well, we want to watch the game. And I said, listen, go to the concert. And that's Bella's favorite band, you know.
Mm.
And, I, you know, she hasn't decided where she wants to go to college yet. But I still think, and I mean, she, you know, I know that she's looking at Ohio State and Northwestern and Vanderbilt? I don't know, all these schools all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
But she is still considered, although Northwestern's in Illinois, but she is still considering the University of Illinois.
Okay.
And the concert's at the University of Illinois. So it's like, you know, maybe she needs to go and watch and, you know, get a good memory of it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, get her to the concert, you know?
So they got a little road trip ahead of them.
Yeah, so they're going to go Friday night, which, like I said, I'm totally cool with it. But, you know, the Cubs are playing, and it will be the first time that there's been a Cubs game since, you know, 1990, you know, well, they didn't make playoffs until 98, but since I met my wife in 1990, this will be the first time that I've had to watch a Cubs game all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would have, you know, gladly done in 1989 had I gotten that dingbat, psychopathic dingbat to leave me alone then, you know. And so I'm like, damn, you know, I don't want to be alone and watch the game, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I'm trying to decide who to invite over. And like you said, Belint would be the natural, you know.
Mm.
But he's got a football game, and a girlfriend, so he's not going to spend time with me. He's not going to want to spend time with me. So I got to figure out, you know, I got to figure out who I, how I'm going to get somebody to come watch the game with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm certainly not going to invite, you know, I'm certainly not going to invite my mother and, you know, because that's sort of the reason that the first girl was a problem. She reminded me too much of my mother, you know. That whole competing with sports teams. Well, I don't have all the attention on me. So I'm definitely
you better
not.
Watch it. Your mom's liable to sneak in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's what she's done twice this week.
I know. The other day you were on air and she snuck in on you.
Sneak in. And every time. And by the way, every time it's the same thing. Oh, and my mother goes, oh, you do a show in the morning? I'm like, son of a bitch. Yes, I do a show in the morning. I've done a show in the morning for a year and for almost 2 years. I started doing the show in May of 2015. All right? It's been over a year and a half that I've been doing this show. And still, I can't get this. She sneaks in. By the way, it's very troubling that she sneaks into the house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't send a text over saying, hey, I'm going to stop by your house. That's what gets me. God, I pray every day. I'm like, oh, my God, please don't be doing anything embarrassing when she walks in, you know. Could you imagine me like, I'm like, maybe I see something sexy or somebody sends me an email or something happens and I'm like, oh, man, I'll turn on some porn and, you know, could you imagine? It's like
there's your mother behind you.
I can't even masturbate because I'm afraid that I'll be taking care of myself and she's going to walk in. I let myself in. Ah! You know. It's like I'm scared of doing anything in my own house because I'm afraid she's going to walk in. And she walks in while I'm doing the show. And, you know, so she walks in. Now, when I'm doing the show, I'm in my office. I don't even have any lights on. Okay? I like it dark. Mm-hmm. I have a window in front of me that I get to look outside that provides some, yeah. It provides some light, but every other light in the house is off and there's drapery. So the house is dark so that my dogs will sleep and, you know, so everybody else in the house is relaxed, you know, of which mm-hmm. is just animals. There's no humans here except me. And she creeps into the house. Okay. That even though I'm doing a morning show is dark. She creeps in, the animals are sleeping. And then goes into my office, of which the door to the office is open, all right?
Uh-huh.
The rest of the house, so that, God forbid, something happens, I can see the pets, you know? So she creeps into the house, gets behind me, and pokes me. You know what I mean? Like, with her finger, like, pokes me, and goes, hello, you know? And while I'm doing the show, and scares the shit out of me.
Uh-huh.
Like, how many times, if you guys are ever listening to the show, you listen to the old podcast, and you hear at some point me going, "Whoo!" It's because she's poking me. And that's why I go, "Whoo!" Because it freaks me out that the woman is poking me. And, yeah, it just makes me crazy. So.
Yeah, my mom used to come over. And if I would be sleeping, I'd wake up on the couch and there she'd be sitting in her chair.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to wake you up. You look so peaceful. What the hell are you doing in my house, Mom?
I've gotten up in my house, right?
Yeah.
And I go to my bedroom. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to lay down for 40 minutes, you know. And so I'm sleeping on the couch. And like one of my dogs, my dog Chester, will jump up on the bed with me. Uh-huh. If I take an afternoon nap. And I'm laying on my back or lay on my side. He'll be right up against me. You know what I mean? That's just what he does. Uh-huh. He's my buddy. He likes to nap when I do. And I cannot tell you how many times I've woken up and I open up my eyes. She's standing in the doorway. And I'm like, ugh! You know, my first response is I'm jumping. It's so scary. And I check to see if she's got a knife. I'm like, what the hell? You know, and she's just standing there.
That's what my mom used
it's
to do.
It's so odd. It's like, what are you doing? You know? Or else
I'd wake up to clanging and banging, you know, and she'd be doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you live by yourself. This house has got to be cleaner than this.
This house is filthy.
Get these beer cans, throw them in the garbage.
Doesn't your wife ever clean?
You know, whatever they're doing. It's like I've been in the shower before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm in the shower and I'm getting clean. I come out. You know, maybe I'm listening to I got this radio in my shower. Maybe I'm listening to it. I'm come out of the shower and I think I'm all alone and I'm like, you know, sweet home Alabama. And I'm out of the bathroom. I'm walking around. I'm talking to myself, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I walk out of the bathroom. I have to make sure I wear clothes now when I, you know, because I can't tell you how many times I walk out and she's in my house. And then she goes, hi, Lo. Hi, Lo. Instead of hello, it's hi, Lo. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm like, oh, what the hell? And she goes, well, you shouldn't be surprised. I dropped over. And I'm like, no, I'm surprised. Can't you freaking text? I go, can you not text? Jesus Christ. There's no one in the world that I just show up at their house, you know?
Or at least call.
Yeah, she just, no. Just drop me a text and say, hey, I'm stopping over. It doesn't even take
I think
that
that's
long
mothers.
To send that text. It's no, because here's the deal. I think they want to surprise you. I think they're up to some no good. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. They want to catch you doing something.
Yeah, they want to catch you in the middle of doing something embarrassing. Or they want to catch you like you're like, I know they're up to no good. Or they're trying to sneak in and out without, like the other day, when my mom came by, I know she was coming by to steal a piece of cake. Because
yeah,
my daughter
was trying to sneak in and get that cake.
Yeah, my daughter made that cake. And I put a picture up on Facebook about how amazing. And it was. I'm saving this cake, okay?
Uh-huh.
I have like one piece from the cake every day. And I'm trying to make it last, right?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I know that's killing my mother. And she saw how good the cake looked on Facebook. And she snuck over, like every day she finds an excuse to come over, and she tries to go for that cake. So I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just crazy. The way that, and you know, anybody else, like my wife lives here. This is her home. If she leaves work, she sends me a text saying, leaving work, I'll be home in like, you know, 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Like she sends a text and I'm like, she's the one person that doesn't have to text. She lives here. Just show up. You know?
You have to start locking your deadbolts.
Any family member that wants to come. My brother Goose has a key to the house. He always sends a text, say, hey, he'll go on my way over, you know, before he shows up. He's polite.
Mm-hmm.
The one non-polite person. Who just feels like at any time they can just come into the house? Like one day I was showering, okay?
Uh-huh.
And while I was showering, the water temperature changed. And I'm like, son of a bitch, what's going on with this plumbing, you know? And it wasn't anything big, but I was like, that's kind of a weird fluctuation. And I'm blaming Chatham Water and everything. So I get up, I get out, I dry myself off, and I put on the half boxers, half jockey undershorts, you know?
Yeah.
Put a pair of them on, and I just throw I still have like a towel around my neck or whatever, and I walk, and I go to get myself something to drink, you know, because I'm getting ready to go somewhere. It's like when a radio station gets smart enough to actually call me to go work for them, you know. So I'm getting up and I'm walking through my hallway and I'm like, oh my God, what is that sewer smell? You know. I'm like, son of a bitch. And I'm thinking, is there a sewer issue? Is that why my fluctuation of my water, you know what I mean? And so I walk through the hallway of my house. And it smells like, well, I'll just say it smells like shit, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like human waste. Like a skunk died. Like a rancid cow dropped dead, and the stench of dead is rolling off it, mixed with the stench of shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk into my kitchen. I'm like, oh, my God, what's wrong with my house? And then I start walking back, and our bathroom is in the main hallway, like the main bathroom of the house that I never use because I use my bathroom, which is in my bedroom, you know. And so I'm walking back with this cup of coffee, you know. And the bathroom, my bathroom door opens. Hi, Lo. I'm like, oh, my God. And it dawns on me. It's like, she showed up at my house, went into my main bathroom, and God knows what she did. The shower must have been on for the fluctuation, for the water fluctuation. And good Lord, and I actually go, oh, my God. So it scares me to death, right? I'm spilling hot coffee on my body. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. I go, Jesus. I go, does your bathroom at your house not work? Oh, my bathroom works fine. And I'm like, God damn. I'm like, God damn. I go, did whatever crawled out of you, was that a sudden onslaught? Because that sure seems like something that you would have seen coming a while ago, you know, like implying that she went in and took a plunger needing shit in the bathroom, you know, because it smells so foul.
You know, when you ate that, it was going to be bad.
And she's like, what? I go, did you just decide you had to go to the bathroom at my house? She goes, what? And I go, what are you doing? Oh, I just wanted to come over and say hi. And I go, did your body not tell you you had to go to the bathroom when you were at your house? And she goes, oh, well, I guess it did, but I just thought I'd wait. So basically admitting to me that this horrible stench, you know.
She was saving that up for you.
Yes. It's like, did you know that was going to come out of your body and you brought, oh, I know, I'm going to go take a shit at his house. And I always say, and I can't tell you how many times I tell my mother, I go, why would you do that? You know, how many times I go, why in the hell would you do that? And she's always mystified.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what? I don't understand why you would ask. And she goes, that's rude. You know, like I'm somehow rude. Because I pointed out that her defecation stinks. But I'm the one.
I used to do that to my parents when they were around.
Like you would just intentionally go take a shit in their house?
Come home from work, I'd always stop at their house. I didn't want to sneak up my house.
Oh, I would never. That's the worst thing. I'd never do
that. Oh, yeah. Walk in and get the newspaper and a can of beer.
Take a stinky shit and leave.
Oh, yeah. You never wanted to stink up your own apartment if you had women coming over.
Well, I would like to think that it is a fluke and not something that she'd do on purpose, but God damn.
She did it on purpose.
I would be like, oh, my God. I go, why would anyone do that? If I got to take a dump and I stop at somebody's house, I'll say, all right, see you later. I'll go home. I'll hold the dump till I get to my house.
Mm-hmm. But that's not good for you.
Who the hell wants to go to? Well, my mother, she lives. I don't know if you've been to her house or not. She lives like 5 blocks away. She literally lives down the street, you know. It takes.
So she held it in until she got to your house.
Yes. Obviously, she had to go at her house.
Oh, yeah.
Even if she got there a second after I went into my bathroom to take my shower, the total time would be like 10 minutes, you know. Because I don't take a super long shower. So I'm like, what does she do? She obviously had to take a dump in her house and left her house, you know, coming here, decides to go to the bathroom. It's like, why wouldn't you go at your house? It makes no sense. And for one small, my mother's 4'11", okay? She's a tiny woman.
Yeah, she's not very tall.
She's 4'11". I mean, she's literally, if she was 5 inches shorter, she'd be like a little person. You know, or they don't, it's not midget anymore, is it? What, I don't even know what, a little person, okay?
Little people.
Which I think is correct. I don't know what's politically correct. I try to learn, you know. But she's not a very tall person. And, you know, she's a little overweight, but she's not like a morbidly obese or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But I marvel at how such a small person somehow goes to the bathroom and it smells, and literally it smells like five obese auto mechanics who have been feasting on sour tuna and pasta and liverwurst. Have come over and taken a shit all at the same time.
If you look out the window, the birds are dropping.
Jesus. I'm like, how can such a horrible stench come from such a small person? And it's just foul. I'm like, oh, my God. And I hate the, I usually don't like candles. However, my wife had a couple candles going yesterday that made a great combination. Was really good. She came over the lunch hour. She cleaned up a little bit and she put these candles on. They smelled fantastic. But if my wife comes home and there's candles going, she'll be like, what the? Why are there candles going? And then she knows. She goes, oh, your mother came over and went to the bathroom. Because that's when I'll put the candles on. I'll be like, oh, my God. That's it, you know. It's so horrible.
My wife's got one of those pots she's got on the stove.
Yeah.
You turn it on or something, flip it on the switch, and it stinks up the house.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we have nice scent things, you know, candles and Scentsy and all this other stuff, you know.
That's it.
Yeah, and my wife's found some good smells that don't give me headaches, because sometimes I get a headache, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the combination she had yesterday was really good, you know. But you know the house stinks if I'm turning on the, you know, if I'm risking headaches from the stench, you know.
You poor mother.
Oh, because there's got to be something wrong when you're that little and that much stink comes out of you, you know.
Maybe that's why she sneaks in on you.
Good Lord. Yeah, like, oh, maybe I can get done and get out of here before he even notices. Which has happened. I have come home before.
Mm-hmm.
Like back when I was doing middays on MAY in like 2012, you know. I would leave for work around 7, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'd go on from like, this is when I was doing like 9 to 11 or 9 to noon. I'd leave around 7. I'd get all my work done. I'd come home around 1:30 or so, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd come into my house, and it would smell horribly, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, oh, my God, what happened? And there'd be nobody in my house. And I'm like, what in the hell? I don't believe in ghosts. The door was locked. I don't know who that. And then I think, ugh, my mother, you know. I knew that she had come to my house. Forgetting that I was working, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so, well, while I'm here, I'll just go ahead and drop one.
Or she goes, oh, I'll come to his house and I'll wait for... Because my mother doesn't understand some things. Like, she would listen to my show on MAY. She was never a fan of WTAX. I don't like that WTA. They play that Rush Limbaugh. I hate him. I don't like that station, she would say. Like, even when I was working at TAX, she would talk about, oh, I was listening to Jim today. He was so funny when I was listening to Jim Leach. I'm like, what the hell are you listening to Jim Leach for? She goes, well, I was driving around. The radio was on. I said, isn't he on Against Me? And she'd go, oh, I don't know. When are you on again? So when I worked at TAX, my mother, she just hated the station, you know. But she's always listening to MAY. So when I was on MAY, she would listen, right?
Yeah.
And she would hear me on the air. And the show would end at noon. And I'd say, Dave Ramsey's up next. So long, everybody. You know, and I'd end the show, right?
Yeah.
And that's when I was doing, like I said, it was 9 to noon. Was it 9 to noon or or 9 to 1, whatever I did, you know.
Yeah, it is 9 to noon.
Yeah, I can't remember what. Yeah, because I don't know. Or no, it was 10 to 1. I was doing 10 to 1, I think. And so whenever the show would end, okay, whenever the show would end, or I would head home, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'd stay a while, and then I'd eventually head home. Well, my mother would listen, and she'd hear the show, and she'd go, oh, he's going to be home. So she would get up and go to my house, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, somehow to surprise me when I got to my house or what. But then she'd be like, oh, it's been, he's still not here, you know. Because she can't understand the whole concept of, oh, well, you know, I have work to do after I'm on the air, too. It's not just being on the air. There's more to it. And so I would come home and the house would smell like, you know, like a ghost that eats bad came in and took a shit, you know. And then I would figure it out. I'm like, oh, I know what's going on. She would she would come into my house waiting for me. And then she would leave because I wasn't home yet. But she'd take a shit before she left, you know.
Well, she'd get mad at you.
Yeah.
Because you didn't come right home. Well, I'll just show him.
Yeah, it was like, it's my house. I determine when I come home.
I'll just leave a present for him.
Yes. So I'm positive that's what was going on. I'm positive that she, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive that somehow she took a shit in my house and then left. Oh, boy. So anyway.
Poor mother.
Yeah. So there you go. Listen, we're off tomorrow. And then I'm playing this weekend, by the way. You know, I always play special things for the weekend. Last weekend was the Spanky special. This weekend is Ray's birthday special. I'm playing all some
right.
I'm playing some past birthday shows, which I think everybody will like. At least I hope. All right? So listen, Spanky, it's 10:06. Have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. And we will talk to you Monday morning.
Monday morning, we're back hopefully talking about the Cubs being up a lot. All right? Let's hope they're up 3-1. Anyway, that's it for the show. So long, everybody.
See you, buddy.